Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the Extra Hour. My name is John Ramos. And joining with me today is Pat and the one and the only, the man, affectionately known as Chris Cat. We're going to say Chris.
Hello, John.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man.
Fantastic. Good to hear you. Look at that voice, man. That
I know, bass he's got in that there. Baritone.
I know. Does he do any singing? Is he a...
No. You wouldn't want to hear that one.
Well, my goodness, we're in the extra hour already. But, you know, we talked in the first hour, we said we're going to get to this, and I'm glad we're going to talk about this. And we're talking about the third great awakening. You know, we've been praying, we've been seeking God, and we're believing for the third great awakening, a massive move of God, an end time harvest of souls that are going to come in these last days. As a nation turns to God, as the church repents and the church says, "Listen, it starts with me. I'm gonna be the person. I'm gonna go first." And we're gonna share a segment. Entitled "This Great Awakening," the third great awakening. And what's important about this awakening? It comes after the breaking up of a hard ground. You know, it takes gospel. Sowing. We're going to hear about this process. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about it. And listen, this is that. This is that. We need a great awakening.
That's right.
Our vision and what God has spoken, this relationship that we have right now, this conversation that we're in, it's a divine thing. It's a divine thing that God had began this conversation for quite some time ago. And now he wanted to bring the conversation to this point. And even as we're speaking, mm-hmm. that conversation is getting deeper and more defined and getting ready for the nations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hearing more clearly what the Lord has said and is going to do. And the Lord's name is going to be magnified. It's going to be the greatest harvest you've ever seen. But if you go back, and it's been so long since we were an agricultural society where every one of us farmed and grew mm-hmm. our own things, that before you plant a garden, before, you know, you every great harvest begins with hard soil. You know, it begins with soil that's unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be prepared. If it's just dirt, I mean, what's the big deal? You just take the tiller out, you take your hoe out, you know, you take your tractor out, and you put your forks down deep into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And go, you know, maybe 12 inches into the soil. You know, imagine like 12 or so forks behind your tractor, and you're just dragging it, and you're breaking up that hard ground. You're breaking it up, and then you're throwing in nutrients, and then you have these little discs, and then you're disking it all in. They spin around. And
wow, you must have done this before. With such detail, you described this process.
Yes.
I didn't know you were a farm extraordinaire.
Yes. You know how it is. And
Pat, we're learning, Pat.
I know who to call.
We didn't know, did we? Huh?
No.
And then after they pull these rakes across, I'm talking about if you have a small tractor or big, just say a smaller tractor, and then you have these discs that spin around, and they kind of sift all the nutrients in the soil and all the things that you put in there, and now you're ready to plant. And then when you're ready to plant, you take a pointed trowel, if you would, and pull it behind your tractor, and it goes down deep into the prepared soil, and it puts a trench all the way through the soil, and it pushes other things aside, soil aside, so that you can drop the seed in that trench and systematically drop them in a certain, depending what you're growing. And then it covers it back up again. Mm-hmm. And they go, that's just so neat. That's just so wonderful how that works. And then you water it and you go through all these processes of keeping the weeds out of it. And you put your rows a certain distance apart so that your tractor can come through those rows and you can weed it with the tractor. If not, you got to weed, 14 acres with a hoe. So if you put it far enough apart, you can drive your tractor through there and clean out all the weeds in between. And then eventually you have a harvest. The things grow up, the blade, the stem, the fruit, and all that. And you harvest it and you eat. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the harvest. But when it comes time to preparing the soil, very few people are lined up for the opportunity. Mm. And it's sad to say today that even Americans, most Americans, wouldn't even line up to help pull the corn off the stock. They would say, well, let me know when you got it off, you got it canned or got it frozen or...
Right.
I'll
help you eat it.
I'll help you eat it. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much.
And, but that's just, that is the earth. But the soil of the kingdom, we're talking about a move of God. The soil of the kingdom is the heart of men. And if we want a move of God, and we do, we're believing God for a third great awakening. It's not over till God says it's over, and you got to hear
that's
that.
Right.
It is not over till God says it's over. I don't care if your back is up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's coming to take your head off. If you're looking up and you're listening to God, it ain't over till God says it's over. Because he can part the soil in men's hearts.
Yeah.
And so it's cool when it's the dirt on the earth, but it's the soil of your heart that's hard. And God says, okay, we're going to have a great harvest here. What's the first thing that's going to happen? He's going to break up the hard soil in your heart, our hearts, right? He's going to break up the hard-heartedness. So he's going to let us go through situations that just cause our hearts to be contrite. That's what the word says. God does not turn away from a contrite heart. Mm-hmm. What contrite means? It means crushed to powder rock.
Wow.
Somebody says, yeah, God doesn't turn away from a broken heart. No, a contrite heart. It's like crushed heart where it was one big boulder rolling through your yard one day, and now it's like some talcum powder you put on your foot. Yeah. I mean, it's that crushed. Mm. It's crushed rock. And so basically, it's so what seems like it's horrific right now, you're looking at something about to happen to America that it's just going to rip it apart. But isn't that what you do to the soil of the earth when you're getting ready to begin through a process of bringing forth a harvest?
That's right.
I mean, you're going to have to deal with the hard soil in the earth, and you're going to have to deal with the hard soil in men's hearts, the hard-hearted. And God's not going to move. You're not going to have a harvest in the spiritual realm on top of hard hearts, and you're not going to have a harvest in natural ground on hard soil. You're not going to be able to throw your seed on top of the soil. The seed has to go down into the soil and it has to die. Because unless the seed dies, it won't bear anything. Mm-hmm. And so now these hard things that are coming and has come and is coming to the world and America, understand this, to us, the church, it's just going to make us prepared for a harvest. Mm-hmm. If we misunderstand it, it could offend us. Mm-hmm. If our God is not God and our God is our job or our money or things or stuff or whatever, that's we're going to mess up. But if we understand God is our God and that everything's Father filtered and that the hard hearts have to be first softened and tilled and plowed, and when those forks are going into hard earth, it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But when those forks being pulled behind a holy tractor is going through your heart, it's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could this all work out?
Right.
I'm being ripped apart by people that I love. I'm being ripped apart by my employer. I'm being ripped apart. I'm being ripped to shreds. How can anything good come from this brokenness in my life? Right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that brokenness happens, and then you're in God's word, and you're abiding with him. And if you haven't begin to abide, go to iabide.org and get a plan now. A simple plan, because you want, when you're being ripped apart, you want, when those discs of situations begin to come and stir up the soil in your heart, you want something to be in there other than the same thing just being moved around a lot.
Mm. I know, that's right.
It's no different than in what it was prior to the breaking of the soil. If you didn't put nothing in, no nutrients in that soil, when it starts being disked, it's called disking the soil, and it's basically like sifting. There was years ago, by the way, used to be able to, you had to buy flour and you had to sift it first.
Mm-hmm.
You had the sifter thing, and it would just, you shake it, bang it, twist it, spin it, different kinds of things, and it would take and bring out the fine parts of it. But the soil is like that. And so if you're hiding God's word in your heart, if you are abiding with God and going through this broken times that we're going to go through, I don't see, I hope I'm wrong. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love air conditioning. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I don't think a lot of us are. I mean, we're hearing the same thing. And we're seeing it. Like, we're already seeing part of it already come to pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already happened. It's history. Yeah, but it was a prophetic thing to us first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke it, and then we saw it. And now there's other parts that still have to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. It's going to be about, talk about the Secret Service. We're going to talk about what happened in Libya. We're going to talk about some things the Lord has revealed to us. But if you don't have any word in your life, you're going to go through this like everybody else. I mean, you're going to go through this ripping and this crushing and this disking, and it's just going to knock around your same situation. I mean, if you had a bad attitude that you didn't get rid of before this happened, you're just going to have a bad attitude knocked around, sifted around a little bit.
That's right.
If you were robbing God beforehand and you never began to honor God, for example, then you're just sifting a whole bunch of robbery around, you know? But if you repent and begin to abide and hide God's word in your heart, just keep on hiding, even though it may feel like it's nothing happening at this point. And understand, it's the breaking up of the soil of your heart. It's the disking of that word, mixing it in with your life, that the kingdom, which starts out as a seed in your heart, will begin to grow, and it'll begin to develop. And out of that long process and the watering is the teachings of God's word. You let the teachings of Moses rain down on us. So when you hear the teachings, you go to VFN TV, understand you're watering that seed, you're watering that soil. If you try to live without water, you know, you're not going to have a harvest. But you got to plant the seed, hide the seed, let the soil be tilled in your heart, let the thing be disked up, mixed up inside the soil of your heart. But then you got to continue to let the teachings of Jesus just rain down over you. And that's why you can go to VFN TV and let them rain down over you.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, one day, when it looked like it was over, I mean, what once was a forest is now flatland, total dirt. You don't see anything because everything is underground. But underground, if you were to look, you can see that dead seed now became alive and it's starting to bud. And one day, there's nothing more exciting than when you're planting a garden when you see that first break out of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just beautiful. And so this is a move of God. I mean, it's going to come with great brokenness. It's a stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-hearted, robbing God culture right now in the church.
Right.
And we're going to talk about in the extra hour that we are a subculture and not a counterculture. We're called to be nonconformists to the culture of this world. And we're so conformed. I'm going to talk to you. Listen, this is going to blow you away, but you've got to catch the extra hour. We have ministers putting peanut butter in armpits of other believers and making a sandwich with it in the presence of the church. Listen, we're going to talk about it. This is what's going on right now. Hundreds and hundreds of young people are watching ministers stand on the stage as adults are leaving just disgusted.
Wow.
Mm.
Because we've taken on the world. And you got to hear about this. We got to stop it. We're not called to be or act like the world. We're called to be in it, but not of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're called to be transformed and not to be nonconformist when it comes to the cultures, the sinful cultures of the world, but to be in it, but not of it. And we're going to talk about it. It's just terrible things are taking place. And it's because the church has become like the world, a subculture to it. But believe it or not, that's crazy. You ain't heard it. You got to tune into the extra hour today to be able to hear more about that.
Wow.
But this is how, you know, the only way you're going to deal with junk like that is like huge brokenness. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to take everything away, and then you're going to have to begin to restore it and plow it and plant it and water it for a while with the teachings of God's word and begin to get that seed watered. And you can set yourself up now for a great harvest to come if you listen to these processes and how God does things. You can't just look at the soil and scream at it and say, produce something. You can't stand on the soil of your heart and look up to heaven and shout at God and say, what's your problem? Give, how come something hasn't happened yet? And he's like, you're hard-hearted. You will not let me do anything. Anything that comes in your life that brings brokenness, you avoid it. Mm. You avoid all these relationships because they cause you to be broken and humbled and causes you to be needy and all these different things, and you don't want that. So you're hard-hearted, and seed doesn't grow on hard hearts.
Right.
But the kingdom of God is like a seed. This is what Jesus said. It's like a seed. And it goes inside of us. And at that point, there's a small part of God's dominion in our life. And it has to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will allow God to begin, as we're abiding with Jesus, to transform us, it will get bigger and bigger. And eventually, there'll be less of us and more of him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As we get more of him, there'll be less of us. We cannot make less of us to get more of him, because that would be works. But as we receive more of Jesus and his ways grow in our life, and then all of a sudden we just start disappearing and we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you. You know, we're talking about a third grade awakening, and this is what you hear us talk about on VFN Radio. It's going to take, brokenness is coming. I mean, brokenness is coming. We've prepared and prepared and prepared so that we can, by God's grace, stay faithful. But it's just nothing more irritating than somebody that won't die. It's like, I'm not talking about, you remember the old movies, you know, the old black and white movies, and they take them like 20 minutes to die. They throw their head back and they walk across.
Right.
And it's like, you know,
like, die already.
This
please.
Is so unfair. This is so unfair because, you know, you died a long time ago and you got somebody who's actually justifying why they're not dying.
Mm.
So it's just like, die. What are you living for? You know, die. Mm-hmm. And not death, but die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a lot of dying in America to ourselves, the church, because it's such an idolatrous culture.
That's right.
It's about self. It really is about self. I mean, mm-hmm. you cannot build a traditional flower pot unless you have 4 points about self and how to be a better self. But if you start talking about deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, and you know, and quit robbing God and all these different things, you could downsize your flower pot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can downsize it. Remember, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, then his disciples said, okay, we can order a smaller building now. We can lease this one out.
Mm.
All right.
We need something about the size of 12. It'll hold 12. This is what happened.
All right.
And so understand that if God's going to move, and we believe he will, if we'll respond to him, and it means we're willing to be plowed, we're willing to be pruned, we're willing to be disked. We're willing to be go through the process of seed time, understanding there's seed time and there's harvest time. There's no harvest time without seed time.
Mm.
And then allow the teachings, of the true teachings from God's word, not just some sort of touch three people and shout, it's mine, you know, not that kind of stuff. But just teachings from God's word that you can verify in scriptures, this is what God says. Then that will water that seed, and God will move.
Mm-hmm.
But he responds to us. He responds to our hunger. What produces hunger? Desperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have to be quite often in a... We take water for granted unless we're in a desert.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're real picky about food unless we haven't had food for a while.
Right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Even warm water. I think if Pat goes without water for like 30 days, he'll even drink warm water.
Imagine that. I like to see that.
They know your secret now. They'll tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow before this thing, but they'll tell him, you drink the warm water. I know God can deliver me from this, but even if he doesn't, he's still God. He drinks the water. But that means that we can get involved in a move of God, that we can begin to participate. So many times, one man got hungry for God, and God responded. Now it's time for his whole church to get hungry for him.
Mm.
All of us to respond to the great shepherd. Listen, I don't care if your back is against the Red Sea and Pharaoh. your mother-in-law, our father-in-law, or your children, or your boss, or your country is coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't over till God says it's over.
Mm.
And he says that if my people who are called by my name will understand this process, humbling yourself is not just, you know, making yourself look sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's following God's way of doing things.
Mm.
It's total dependency on God. This is how God does things. I need to humble myself. I need to allow God to break my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be willing to suffer loss, delay,
mm-hmm.
Brokenness. I have to be willing for people to leave me who don't want God. I have to be willing to be called the devil when I'm actually doing the best I've ever done for God.
Right.
So you're calling me the devil now? I mean, what about the time? And they called Jesus Satan. You got to be willing to be hated by man to be loved by God. And there is a teaching that I want to make available on VFN TV. You got to hear it. Are you ready to be hated? You have to understand, we're moving into a culture right now. We're coming to the end of the first hour. That, by the way, if you don't know this or not, you're hated. But you have to be willing to be hated for a move of God.
That's right.
For God to move and pour himself out. And right now, there is just, Satan is just, Pat Robinson calls it, no, not Pat Robinson, but somebody else called it, one of our intelligent officers that said that Islam is having a temper tantrum across the earth because somebody, you know, blasphemed their prophet. And America needs to rise up to the occasion and say, knock it off. And
right.
That was his response. And they're not right now. And we'll talk more about that in the extra hour. But understand this, that the God's greater than all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but it may take that stuff for the church to be broken, to be humbled.
Mm.
This is what he says in his word. He says very specifically that the reason why pagans rule over your kings, your priests, and all of you is because of your sin. We're never going to change into godly leadership until we ourselves put God's leadership in our heart. We have to intentionally follow God in our hearts. That's how things change.
Right.
And it looks like pagan leaders, I mean, you know, literally pagans. We have people that are in our leadership, they're going to work, people openly going, hey, I'm a pagan.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, wow. I really respect you because most pagans don't even say they are.
That's right.
I can identify with you because then you just need somebody to understand. It's always interesting to me, why does somebody deny a God they don't believe in? It's like, why waste your breath and your time? It's because you know he's real.
That's right.
And if your plane was going down, you're not going to cry out, pagan, pagan. You're going to cry out, Jesus, God, help me. It's amazing how that works.
Oh, my goodness. Who thought? Who knew?
Right.
Who knew that the ground that needed to be broken was us? Oh, my goodness. Third great awakening is coming.
Yeah.
But it's going to come through what? The breaking of hard ground.
That's right. Hard hearts.
Hard hearts. And who thought it? Who knew? Who knew, right? Also remembered something. I found out something interesting again, too. Warm water, Chris. Write that down. Warm water.
Warm water.
I got it. Write that down.
I got it. All
okay,
right.
Make sure that's a quick. We're going to waterboard them. Here you go. Drink it. Drink it. But think about it. I mean, we're believing for a third great awakening and just things just don't happen. You know what I mean? It just, listen, we got to contend for this. We want God to move. We want to honor the Lord. You know, God's not going to show up in our mess like that and just, you know, come on. It takes a spirit of humility. It takes, you know, reality, looking in the mirror. And we have a highlight. We want to share that when we come back. But you got to look in the mirror and be willing to say, you know what? Okay, God, go as deep as you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Use whatever tool you need to use,
right?
And break up any area of my heart that's been hardened to you.
That's right.
Just go ahead and till up the soil. Up the soil. We got to be willing to be pruned. We got to be willing to put ourselves in a place of vulnerability and humility where God can work on us. Listen, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to see God move in such an awesome way? Isn't it worth it to see loved ones and family and friends and people we've been praying for years come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Isn't it wonderful to see, you know, people abiding and growing with God and raising up spiritual children?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Isn't it worth it for the advancement of God's kingdom on the face of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it. We need a desperate move of God. I'm telling you, America in particular is in trouble.
Right.
And guess what? The rest of the world looks to America. And if we're in trouble, hello.
Right.
Catch a clue.
That's right.
But I mean, it all starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just think about it. I mean, how do you think we came to the Lord? You know, God had to break our hearts to get to us.
Yeah.
You know, we all come from different backgrounds and situations, how we got there.
That's right.
But the fact of the matter is our hearts had to be broken first.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Before that seed could actually produce.
That's right.
You know, an analogy he used earlier, which is great. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, the ground's got to be broken up before you can plant anything in it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just going to burn up.
That's right.
Because it's not, nothing's going to grow.
Right.
That's right. And seeds will bounce off that heart. Bing!
Doing.
Yep. And it's like, you can't come to God, which we've talked quite a bit about how to turn to God and repenting and going after Him. You can't come to God with a hard heart. You can't come to God with a critical spirit. Okay, you finally got me to come amongst the fellowship. Okay, I'm here. Give me with your best shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. You're not going to inspect God. You're not going to pick and choose. We don't come to God from our intellect. We come to God in a place of recognizing that, God, I just realized you're God and I'm not. I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we come to a place of lower still. Mm. And we're at that place. Then we're ready. When the heart becomes softened and a lot of times people are trying to share the gospel with people that don't even want to receive it. What point have I told you 20 different times, don't want to hear it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the people on the street corner screaming at people.
Yeah.
Where's it going?
Well, people are begging. Some people are begging like, you know, someone said, you know, why should another person hear the gospel yet again when some people have never heard it once? And it's like, you know, at what point do you get the clue that the person you're still trying to throw the gospel seed at, share with, is at this point not ready? God's asking, we're going to continue to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus didn't stop. He just, he kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
He kept it moving. Yeah. You got to keep it moving. Doesn't mean you can't come back full circle and say, are you done yet?
They're just not ready yet. Yeah, exactly.
Are you ready? But you don't want to stay continue throwing seed and sharing the God with someone that doesn't, it's just bouncing.
You're
right.
You're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. The ground's not ready. The heart's not ready. It's not soft.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. Soft soil, soft heart, just a little bit of seed. Just a little bit of seed.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you start having growth.
That's right.
And that's why the teaching, of God's word is so important. Rich teaching. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the rich teaching, the gospel, the word of God going forth. God's word washes over. I mean, just you need to soak in the word of God because that's what's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help you.
Mm,
we're talking about a third great awakening. We're talking about a massive move of God. But it's not going to come with hard hearts. It's not going to come from a place of pride.
Right.
It's going to come to a place where we, you know, I think of James Robinson's prophetic words is, you know, humility or humiliation, you choose.
That's all right.
One way or the other, every knee will bow.
That's right.
And every tongue will confess.
That's right.
One way or the other, you get a chance to choose on this side.
Mm-hmm.
We get a chance to do that. And it's always, always lower still. We'll be right back.
I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it, so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email. An update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us for the extra hour. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Well, you know we're in the extra hours, gentlemen.
And hour? I want to
hours? The extra hour. Extra hour. Okay. Extra hour.
I thought there was more than one.
You gotta check your hearing, man. You gotta check your hearing.
Okay.
Well, you know, we're in the extra hour, Pat, and I wanted to share a little bit. I wanted to share, and I know we were talking about this before, and we've talked about it much, but we were talking about the third great awakening that we're believing for. We know mm-hmm. that it takes the breaking up of hard ground and the soil, mm-hmm. but you know, we need to preach the gospel. You know, once the hard ground has been broken up, right? I mean, we need the seed of the gospel.
That's right.
And right now, I mean, the greatest message, the greatest task of the church at hand is the Great Commission. I mean, things haven't changed since Jesus last spoke those words. You know?
No.
You talk about famous last words. He tells his disciples in Matthew 28:18, you know, all authority in heaven has been given to him on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he says, listen, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And oftentimes when you hear about the Great Commission, you're either going to fall in two groups, right?
Right, right.
One is that I have never heard this before. What is that?
Yeah.
Or maybe we've heard it so much that it just washes right over us, bounces right off of us, and mm-hmm. says, oh, yeah, 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 that thing Jesus told those disciples, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that thing for the evangelist to do. That, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But it just doesn't ever seem to land.
All right. It's a good sign that your heart's been hardened.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Listen, for this third grade awakening, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to be in the harvest fields, sharing, the good news and doing and fulfilling what Jesus Christ already told us. Listen, he says, all authority I've been given. I'm you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go. And when you think about this task, you think about a commissioning, you know, commissioning is a mission. We've been commissioned for this.
That's right.
Talk about, you know, does the church have a purpose? You know, this is your purpose. And we've been equipped with everything we need. I mean, God's given us his word. He's given us prayer, the ability to communicate and connect and talk with God.
That's right.
I mean, he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have an open door policy with the Lord. You have the authority that God's given us. You have the precious Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus. We have faith. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. God never calls us to a task that he doesn't prepare us for or that he doesn't enable us to do as we rely and trust upon him.
Right.
But when you think about it, there's people's souls that lie in the balance. You know, every day people are dying, every single day. And at the end of the day, we got to ask ourselves, you know, where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are they going? And I'm afraid that at large, the church at large has allowed the world, pop culture, and society to basically paint the picture, if you will. They've allowed society, the Hollywood and pop culture and what's happening in the world out there to define or the image of sin and what hell's really like.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this before, but so many times, right now, people are calling what's good evil,
mm-hmm.
and they're calling evil
good. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's just a twisting. It's a perversion, if you will. You know, it's like, are you for real? You've got movies out there talking about hell, like Hellboy.
Yeah.
You know, Drag Me to Hell,
mm-hmm.
6 Degrees of Hell, Hell and Back Again. And you're thinking, what? Right. What? And then we wonder why there isn't a fear of God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, then our kids are growing up and they're seeing all these movies and they're hearing about them in school. And it's like, start to question, you know, what is there? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Well, what really is sin? What? And my goodness, we have to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the music that's out there and just listen to it. And remember, this is to BFN, we're talking to the church. We're talking about being prepared, but we're looking, you know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
And what's happening out there can affect us as well. You know, we just got to be aware of that. Music and pop culture today. You know, remember when they were singing about Hotel California?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the Eagles, you know, could this be heaven? Could this be hell? I was like, what? You know, there's a lyric, there's a term mm-hmm. in there. You know, AC/DC wrote a song, Highway to Hell, Nirvana, mm-hmm. Lake of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it and you say, wow, people are talking about hell as if it's like no big deal.
Right. Like some vacation spot or something.
Right, right. Some figment. In fact, someone went on a cruise somewhere, and I forgot who it was, and they were telling me about that there's a place somewhere, I forget where it is, where on the cruise ship you can go to a place, a territory, like one of the destinations, and it's hell. It's like a... They have, they call it hell, and they have like little demons or something, and people take pictures with it. It's just like,
oh, wow.
Just commonplace. Like, it's no big deal, you know?
Hmm.
And let me tell you, according to George Barna in his recent study, he did a study which is fairly, not, you know, not fairly old. It's 2003, less than a little 10 years, 11 years old.
Hmm.
At that time, 71% of Americans believe that a place like hell exists.
Mm-hmm.
71%. But according to that same study, most Americans don't expect to go to hell. In fact, just 0.5% expect to go to hell one day. Just 0.5%.
Wow.
So although there's a belief that it exists,
right.
I ain't going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, someone else is going.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to share the gospel. If we're going to do the task the Lord's called us to, this labor of love, this commission, the mission of our life, is to share the love of God. The love of God only makes sense on the backdrop of what is to come if we don't accept them, if we don't share the word.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, VFM Radio, so those that are prodigals and those that are being drawn to the Lord. Maybe you're being drawn to the Lord and you're hearing about, you know, you've been tuned in and you're listening. What's all that about? Let me tell you something. Hell is real. Mm-hmm. Hell is real. And the study goes on to say that one of the intriguing findings from the research is that education and income are negatively correlated with the belief in heaven and hell. And in other words, the more education a person gets, the more income they earn, the less likely they are to believe that heaven or hell exists. Mm. While most high-income households and college graduates maintain belief in heaven and hell, the findings reinforce the popular notion, and indeed Jesus' teaching, that people of economic means and those with considerable education struggle to embrace biblical teachings on such matters. Mm. Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting that we've come to a place where we can start trusting in our finances, we can start trusting in our education. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we know something. We got edumacated. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, right.
Oh, okay, so you went to college. Okay. You know, if you talk to most people, they don't remember what they learned in them 4 years in college. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, exactly.
It's impossible to remember all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It just prepares you for the next. Not shortchanging education, but it sure ain't God. You can't elevate it to the place of it's everything, because mm-mm. What's the point of, you know, we hear this in the scriptures. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yet forfeit his own soul. Mm-hmm. What does it profit to have degrees and riches and wealth and resources if in the end you lose your soul?
That's right.
You know, have you ever noticed that you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse?
Right.
You can't take any of this stuff with you.
Uh-uh.
You can't take any of this stuff with you. The only thing you can take with you are souls, right? Only you can take is...
That's right.
And so this is important. It's important. And there's not many paths to heaven. I mean, it's not politically correct. But the question is, did God call us to be politically correct or biblically correct?
Right.
You can't be both. You got to choose. I say we choose the side of biblically correct. But Jesus makes these amazing claims. He says,
mm-hmm.
Jesus says, I am the, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
He doesn't say he is a way.
Yeah.
I am many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. He says, I am the way,
mm-hmm.
the way. And what's interesting about this study, and this is George Barnes doing this research, this is his ministry. He says, many committed born-again Christians believe that people have multiple options for gaining entry into heaven. They're saying, in essence, personally, I am trusting Jesus Christ as a means of gaining God's permanent favor and a place in heaven, but someone else can get to heaven based upon living an exemplary life. Millions of Americans have redefined the grace to mean, redefined grace to mean that God is so eager to save people from hell that he will change his nature and universal principles for their individual benefit. It is astounding how many people develop their faith according to their feelings or cultural assumptions rather than biblical teachings. And that's George Barna. And it goes to figure, I mean, if 19% of all believers are actually reading the Bibles for themselves, you can see how this false idea, this false doctrine, this can actually settle in someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Jesus says it plainly and clearly in the gospel that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through him.
That's right.
And you know, think of the boldness of Jesus. I mean, this he's saying, "I am the door, the door." And what separates Christianity from every other religion on the face of the earth and Jesus is that every religion on the face of the earth has man trying to do something to earn their right standing with God.
All right. All about works.
All about works. Anything they can do, whether you're praying, good works, righteous deeds, all this type of stuff, and they can earn their entrance.
Right.
Well, Jesus says, listen, your best works, the best things that you could ever do is like filthy rags.
That's right.
Isn't it better that you just accept my righteousness, my good deeds? You know what I mean?
Right, his work.
What do you think? Isn't it better just accept what the Lord has done? I mean, there's nothing that we can do. Nothing we can do. Oftentimes people look at the Ten Commandments, if you don't know any better, you look at the Ten Commandments as, how can I measure up? Oh, yeah, I've checked that, did that. Really? The Ten Commandments, the Bible tells us, is a schoolmaster that points us to Christ. It's there to show us that, you know what? I don't measure up. No matter how much I try and I'm trying to obey God's law and God's word, I still fall short. And the Bible tells us that if we've broken just one of the Ten Commandments, just one, we're guilty of breaking them all.
Wow.
And so, well, you know, why are we taking the time to talk about this? Because foundation is so important. You know, foundation is so important. And I know we're coming close to the end of this extra hour, and maybe this is a topic that that we will pick up in the coming, you know, days. But I'm telling you, we're talking about a third great awakening when 71% of Americans actually think that hell exists, but only half of 1% believe they're going to. Who's going to go there? We're talking about honoring God. We can't shake our fist at the Lord. I mean, Billy Graham said that if God doesn't deal and judge with America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right.
But how could God deal with America? He just has to first deal with the church before he even gets to America.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And so, let me tell you something. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's clear. It's clear. And here's the thing. You know, God doesn't want anyone to perish. But he wants them to come to everlasting life. And so I know we had a chance to listen to a little teaching on hell. But the Bible talks about hell, you know, three words translated to hell: Gehenna, Hades, Sheol. But the wickedness of hell.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that most people actually take the time to even possibly think of that reality? Is that something they just...
There's something that's probably furthest in their mind. They don't even think about it. You know, and you know, to go back to what you're talking about earlier, is that, you know, the fact of it is that society is dumbing down hell.
Yeah.
You know, the reality of it. You know, they make it look, like you're saying, they make it look good, or even that you can conquer it in your flesh. You know, you've got so many movies and video games out there that... you know, that talk about or promote, you know, some hero that goes in and defeats the devil, you know, in their flesh, when the only one who as if you could, but the only one who did it was Jesus.
That's right. That's so good.
You know, and our children are just, you know, all these video games, you know, they're just, you know, they're numbing them, you know, they're making them numb.
Yeah, you're right.
I think about it, the world, you know, everyone tries to glorify every backdrop of a movie. These movies have good and evil, good and evil, good and evil.
Right. Even superhero demons, you know. I mean, you know, that Ghost Rider or whatever, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And so what happens is there's a lack of truth. And at the end of the day, when people are passing away, they don't know, you know, you got to know. You got to know what's real.
That's right.
You gotta know what's real. We're just beginning this conversation. we're just beginning this conversation. We want to talk more about it in the coming days, but we have to know the truth. Jesus says, if you look, the truth will set you free, but it's the truth that you know that will set you free.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to know the truth. And you got to know that, that hell is real and that there's scriptural foundation for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a misconception that hell is a place that, that maybe you just go to eternal sleep, that you just, you know, you sleep to, you
right.
know.
You just go to sleep, never wake up again.
Right. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, guess what? You're telling me that Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, is sitting somewhere sleeping?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think so. And it, I don't think so, but it's not important what I think. It's important what the Bible teaches and Jesus says. I mean, you look at the rich young, the rich man who was down in Luke 16, and he's begging to Abraham to, you know, can you send Lazarus over here to dip me with some water?
Right.
You know, he's in agony. He's in torment, and he has all this remorse, and he's wishing that people can go back and talk to his family members.
Right.
But I don't think that he was asleep.
Right.
He was very conscious
right.
of the eternal punishment. Right. And as we take time, like I said, in the coming days to talk about it, this conversation more, we really want to delve into it and really get a good glimpse of reality. One, so that we can know the truth. We can shore up our truth. But also, so in this these last days, as we're sharing the gospel and sharing the love of God, we can continue to warn others and help them out.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.